Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.jbsba.com. It's a little slice of small business heaven. Folks, when you get there, don't forget to all the different things you can do. Listen to archives, read articles, check out some of the really smart people, all the really smart people who are members of our Brain Trust. And don't forget you can subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And it comes every week on Sunday to get you ready for the week ahead. One of those really smart people who's a member of our Brain Trust is our guest this half hour, Dan Burris. Dan Burris is a guy who has an outstanding technology crystal ball, but he not only looks into the future and tells us what's coming at us, he helps us use the things that we have in front of us to our better advantage. He's the author of the outstanding book Techno Trends. He's also the author of the monthly newsletter, which I'm a proud subscriber of, which is also called Techno Trends. He's our good friend, Dan Burris. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
It's good to have you back, as always. Dan, one of the things I like about having you on the show is I can just introduce you and ask you to just give us an update on what you're seeing out there. I know you travel around a lot. You're talking to private companies, small companies, big companies, to government agencies. I know you're working on some homeland security issues. What's the issue that's in front of you right now that you think is the most exciting that small business owners need to know about?
Well, I think it's the biggest issue that's in front of all of us right now is something that I will call higher tech. Not high tech, but higher tech. Now, what is higher tech? Higher tech is not the technology. It's what you're doing with it. That's how to get to the next level. Mm-hmm. I was at a big conference out in California called Metamorphosis, and it was about the future of newspapers, print media, and the other media, for example, television news and so on. Had executives from all over the world on that one. And one of the things that I said in the beginning I'll share with our listeners, and that is, I know people that can pick up a telephone and they can make $1 million. I know people that can pick up a telephone and they'll lose $1 million. The difference is not the phone.
Right.
Now, the point here is that it is not the tool, it's how we're using it, and we're all underutilizing it. Now, I have done a survey in the last, I've been giving quite a few keynote speeches around the nation, and I've had some fairly good-sized audiences, many thousands and thousands in each audience, and I've done and we're talking CIO conferences even, you know, where we're, for example, I was at one recently with Microsoft where we had the top 200 CIO customers of theirs, and I asked for a show of hands, and here was the question. I said, first of all, my statement was, we all underutilize the tools we already have. And then I asked this. I said, you all have Microsoft Word. And, of course, I know all of the listeners listening to this are probably using Microsoft Word.
Probably.
And I said, how many of you have used the auto-summarize feature? Raise your hand. And, of course, you know, out of thousands and thousands and thousands of thousands of people that I've surveyed, I've got about four people.
Right. I'm not raising my hand, by the way.
Yeah. Now, the auto-summarize feature has been there on the last three versions of Word, and it is just under Tools. It's right up at the top menu. It's one of the four things down, and it's unbelievably powerful. Let me just tell you what it does, and then I'll make my point.
Okay.
Auto-summarize, if you had a 1,000-page document, and you could go to that 1,000-page document and tell auto-summarize to summarize it in a paragraph, and it would summarize the whole thing with all of the most important points, not by number of words used, but by intelligence.
Wow.
And it would knock your socks off, Jim, as to how powerful that summary is. And if you said, no, I don't want it in a paragraph, I'd like a page summary, or I'd like a two-page summary, it will do it. Now, for example, if you took a book, or many of us have to go to a meeting, and we've been given this big document to look over, and we've got to figure out what it means. Well, wouldn't it be great to just do an auto-summarize of it real quick and see what it means? And it will knock your socks off as to how powerful it is. Now, Now that I've converted everyone listening to this to go and try that, which I advise you to do because it's powerful, it has been free and you have had it for years. Now, the point is, we have many, many powerful tools, but we underutilize all of them. And we're not getting the return on our investment. Now, as a small entrepreneur, you can't afford to not get a return on something you've already paid
for. That's right.
By the way, neither can a big company. So I want you to start looking at, you know, what are the tools that I have, and am I really using them? Number two, you are not getting competitive advantage from those tools.
Hold on to that thought, Dan. I want you
yes.
to come back. I want to give you plenty of time to flesh out number two. Folks, this is words to the wise, and I can tell you right now, I'm making notes. It's 22. We'll be right back with our good friend Dan Burrows. I told you that we'd learn some stuff when Dan joined us. Right after these messages, he and I will be back. 22, stay with us. Back at 17 till, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Daniel Burrus. And ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to encourage you to go to his website, Burrus, B-U-R-R-U-S.com. It's a website that I use quite often just to find out what's going on in the world of technology. And Dan has a way of framing things, and it cuts right to the chase. He gets right to the heart of the matter. He doesn't waste a lot of your time. And I really like the way he thinks. And I encourage you to check his website. Also, don't forget his book, Techno Trends. And, Dan, can they subscribe to your newsletter on the website?
Yeah, they sure can. You can, and that, by the way, in that newsletter, there's not only a column by me every month talking about how to get competitive advantage and how to turn the impossible into the possible using technology, but also, as you know, a lot of the latest updates on some of the latest technology that's out there and how to get more information on it.
Right.
You know, we're in the 18th year of that newsletter, and there's not that many newsletters that last that long.
That's right. Well, you got me by about, let's see, I'm in my fifth year, so you got me by about 13 years. But
all right, good.
Of course, mine comes out every week, too, so but that, I got when we talk in editions, maybe that's a little bit different. But you were talking about a competitive advantage. That was the next point that you wanted to make.
Yes. Well, the first point, then, was that we're underutilizing the tools we have, and we need to relook at what we have and make sure that we're getting the true functionality out of them. If you're doing the same thing on the same stuff as your competition, what's the advantage? Answer is there is none. So that's the second point. And that is, usually what we do is we get the same tools that our competition gets. If you're a manufacturer, you're doing the same things. If you're a big one, you've got SAP. Well, so does your competition. If you're a smaller one, you've got the same kind of software, most likely, that your competition has. You're probably doing the same thing on the same stuff. And if you're doing the same thing on the same stuff, there's no advantage, although you're keeping up. You can even get the latest things. But if your competition is getting the latest things and you're doing the same thing on them, you still have no advantage.
Right.
So the point is that there is no advantage in keeping up. It is a fool's game. What you want to do instead is creatively apply. We want to look at ways that we can leverage what we have to, and here's the strategy, to look at what the other guy is doing and don't do that. Let's take a look at Intel. This is a big company, but it gives you a good example. And this is quite an old example, but it's got plenty of time to prove that it was correct in doing so, and that is back when they were in memory chips. That's what they were making. That's what Intel made, was memory chips, and they were starting to compete with Asia. And you know, when you're competing on price with Asia, hey, you're going to lose.
Forget
about it. You're not going to be able to do it.
Right.
And a memory chip's a memory chip. That was the flaw. So what they decided to do was look at what the other guy does and not do that. They decided to go to the intelligent part of the chip-making business and make the central processor,
right.
And which the Asians were not doing. Far more complex, far different type of ball game, and, of course, Intel's been doing really well since then.
Ways to what they were making then, they moved from the commodity to the non-commodity, didn't they?
Right. Now, that's one way, Jim, of doing it, is to get out of the commodity business. But the other way, because many of the people listening to this would say, yeah, but I sell something that's considered a commodity, and I'm going to stay selling that, so what do I do? And I say, then you need a decommoditizing strategy. For example, water was a commodity until somebody put it in a bottle and sold it to us for a lot of money.
Right.
Coffee was a commodity. You could get it for a dime until somebody, Starbucks, of course, decided, no, let's charge $5, $6, $7 for a cup of coffee. And you can take a commodity and you can decommoditize it by finding new ways of adding value around it. So every one of us does some kind of strategic planning, some form of strategic planning. We think of the road ahead. But unfortunately, most of our strategic planning is really just financial planning in disguise, which means all we do is we have a big number. It's a dollar number. It's what we hope to make next year, and all of our strategies are designed to meet that number, which is good, and I'm glad you're doing it, but it's only one form of strategic planning. Actually, strategic planning requires strategic thinking, and in our thinking process, we have to go beyond just financial planning and ask better questions like, how do I decommoditize my commodities? How do I, first of all, what are my cash cows? Are they branded? Is the brand of my cash cow fitting yesterday, today, or tomorrow? In other words, do I need to rebrand it for the 21st century? Is my cash cow a sacred cash cow? Which, oh boy, you're in trouble if you've got a sacred cash cow, because
those are
the ones that get you into trouble.
Meaning that you don't want to change it, you don't want to modify it because you love it so much.
Yeah, well, let us give you an example. Back in the early 90s, the sacred cash cow of IBM was the mainframe. Mm-hmm. And even though they had PCs and network PCs within IBM, they weren't allowed to compete against the sacred cash cow. And, of course, most of us might remember in 1993, IBM lost more money than any other company in history. And, by the way, most countries, for that matter, almost went out of business because the sacred cash cow kept them from creating new cash cows.
But they learned, didn't they?
Yeah, they learned. They learned by fire, mm-hmm. but they did learn. And what they learned, we don't have to learn the lesson the hard way. Let's learn the lesson from them so we don't have to bleed. We can continue to lead.
Right.
And that is that if you protect and defend the cash cow, you're going to be in trouble. That's our human nature. But what you have to do, first of all, is know what your cash cows are. Ask yourself, which ones are the sacred ones? Mm-hmm. And the sacred ones, we have to make sure that they're not so sacred they keep us from creating new ones. And that's point number three.
Before you get into point number three, and we'll get back to that, one of the things I'd like to point out, though, is that one of the things that you see now when you look at IBM is one of their biggest revenue sources is services.
Which they
never would have considered 10 years ago, probably.
Well, this is very ironic. I was giving a speech to the top 30 executives of IBM in 1988. Back in 1988, they were in a big round. I spent a day speaking to them, and in that speech, I was telling them the future of their profitability was services and software. And after our break, I'll tell you what happened.
Stand by, 10 till. We'll be right back with our good friend Daniel Burris. Also, I'm going to get him to talk to us pretty quickly about some of the new things that are coming at us, like electronic paper. Stay with us, 10 till.
Looking for adventure in whatever comes our way. Yeah, darling, go make it happen.
We're back at 7 till. Dan Burris is our guest, and B-U-R-R-U-S is how you spell his last name, ladies and gentlemen. If you put a .com on the end of his last name, you'll find his outstanding website, which is also where you can find out more about his book, Techno Trends, and his monthly newsletter, print newsletter, by the way. It's print, and it comes every month, and you can find out more about that as well. And all the other things, you got a lot of other things there on the website too, Dan, articles and different things people can read, can't they?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And the book's available wherever books are sold. I know it's been out for a long time. It's still very valid. Daniel, you were talking to us about, we were talking about how the metamorphosis, basically, of IBM into the 21st century.
Exactly. Well, first of all, I was mentioning that I was giving a speech to them in 1988 to the top executives, and of course, everything was around making money on hardware then, and I said that their future profitability would come from software and services. And in that 4 hours, it was a tough battle trying to help them to see that. And, you know, they never did see it. They just were too wrapped around the current cash cow. And, of course, it took a crisis in 1993 to see, whoa, we got to think different. But the good news for IBM is, you know, they, even though it was a trial by fire, you know what? They did learn. And they have come back wonderful. And, of course, you and I know their profitability is now from software and services.
That's right.
And but they still have hardware. You see, the hardware now supports making the money on the software and services.
Mm-hmm.
And by buying a consulting company and merging with a consulting company several years ago, that gave them the ability to even extend the services far beyond where they were before. So So they're doing well and moving strong.
Well, the lesson here is that whether you're a big company or a little company, this decade is different from the last decade, and you've got to make sure what you were saying is you've got to make sure that if you have any sacred cows, that this thing that you love more than anything in the world might be the most dangerous thing in your life.
Right.
And Dan, we only got a couple of 3 minutes left. I want to move on and talk, because one of the fun parts about you being here is talking to us about some new things that we might not know about. What's an example?
Well, one of the things that you started to talk about and wanted me to get into for a few seconds there was the e-paper.
Yes, electronic paper.
Electronic paper. And one of the where that is going is using organic light-emitting diodes and photovoltaics, which is a screen that is inexpensive to make, and you can bend it. Secondly, using photovoltaics, like our calculators, which don't need to be plugged in to get electricity.
Right.
Using a combination of that, if we look about 4 or 5 years down the road, we're going to see the beginnings of being able to get a electronic paper that is 8.5 by 11, or whatever size you want it to be, although that'll be a nice size because you can fold it.
How thin would it be?
And you don't have to plug it in. And you can have an Internet connection. From Wi-Fi.
Really?
And you can do whatever it is you're doing, write on it, whatever it is you're doing, and then fold it up and put it in your pocket.
Huh.
Now, that we'll just see the beginnings of that in about that 4 to 5 year bracket, but it will become, as the price comes down, because you know how it is when things first come out, they're expensive. Towards the last half of the decade, that's going to be big. But will it replace paper? And the answer is no. There is a place for paper, and there'll be a place for paper 20 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the key question we have to ask is, when we talk about paper versus digital, is what type of information is best displayed on a paper document versus that which is best displayed on a digital document, so that we have some guideline for knowing. Just like when you have a meeting, you have to ask yourself, what is the, you need to have guidelines to know, should this be a tangible physical meeting where we actually get together and meet? Should it be just an audio conference? Or does it need to be a video conference? Because not all video conferences need video. For example, you and I are doing real well with our listeners right now on audio. They're not seeing anything.
That's right.
Yet we're getting some good information. So so we need guidelines, and right now, here's another raise of hands. If anyone listening, including you, have any guidelines to let you know when is the best time to use paper versus email versus the letter versus a video conference versus an audio conference or any other form of communication technology, if you've got good guidelines, raise your hand where you are right now, but if you're driving, be careful. And, of course, the answer is none of you raised your hands.
Probably not.
Because I've surveyed tens of thousands of people on this one, and I still haven't seen any hands go up.
It's just whatever's on our mind at the time. How are we deciding?
Exactly, which means that many of the times we're misusing the tools we have. So that is lesson number four in this discussion we've had today, and that is that we need to develop guidelines to maximize the use of the tools that we are using.
And Dan, that's going to have to be the last word, and it's a good one too. Thank you so much. You always give us a lot of information, a lot of things to think about, and also we have a lot of fun. Dan, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Dan Burrus, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. That's Burrus.com. Don't forget that, B-U-R-R-U-S. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.